the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of Non-League Football. I did my last big drive before Christmas earlier this week. No Chris Rea around me, but one thing that did strike me in the early hours as I read the various signs, the here, there and everywhere on the way home, was the strength in depth and breadth of non-league. Clubs at every turn playing their part in the lives, in the history, in the well-being of those around them and those that touch them. We have a unique resource in non-league, a community, a spirit, a set of people, and hopefully in 2023 we can further embrace that and pull together to make non-league even stronger for the short, medium and long-term future of our beautiful game. Last week was all about the great people I get to meet in non-league, and this week is no different. This time we have an old friend of the show who's notched the November Manager of the Month in the National South and sees his side once again in the playoffs, but he's certainly not one to get too excited too early on. Always honest, Danny Bloor is in his third year at Eastbourne Borough, and a club built on a family and community ethos. It's as strong as ever in that department as they push to go further than they did last term. My other guest this week is writer and journalist Trevor Nell, a longtime supporter of this show and us too of his writing. He first rose to real recognition over lockdown when he became, well, the go-to interviewer in the world of non-league, and he continues to produce some of the most incisive writing about our level of the game. The other incisive writing, of course, comes from the non-league paper, and Matt Badcock, editor-at-large, joins us with the short roundup of the news this week and the slight variation in publication dates over Christmas for the non-league paper. So much to come. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. Now, it is an odd time of year in many ways. We've got a short lull from those big FA Cup, FA Trophy, FA Vasa competitions. We've lost games through the weather, and with a weekend Christmas, it means the fixture calendar isn't as full on as it has been in previous years. And yes, unless, of course, you are a manager. I don't suppose there's much respite coming up, especially a manager of an informed team looking to solidify a spot in the playoffs as they head into the new year in National South. Let's hear what all that entails as we welcome back to the Non-League Football Show manager at Eastbourne Borough, Mr. Danny Bloor. Welcome back, Danny.
Yeah, hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Now, I say you're solidifying in the playoffs, but I guess you being you, Mr. Bloor, you're probably going to tell me you're aiming for another 4 points to reach that magic 40-point mark.
No, I'm going to tell you I'm aiming for 44 points this season, Tim. We want to get to 44 points because I think with the additional teams in the league this season, that's our first objective. So that's our first, as I say, first thing we want to achieve. But we've had a good run. But as I say, that's history now. And we look ahead to going to Havant on Boxing Day and then entertaining them at the Solihull Community Stadium on New Year's Day.
You say you had a good run. I mean, you went into November, I think you had four defeats on the bounce and then came out the other end. You got four league wins under your belt, as well as knocking out in-form Ebbsfleet United of the trophy. And I think you've beaten them as well this month too, as well as it shows the form you're in. What made the magic click then at the end of October, beginning of November?
Believe it or not, I actually think the 5-0 defeat at Chelmsford was probably a real good thing for us because we changed a couple of things. And if you'd gone there and just maybe lost 2-1 or, you know, went down 3-2 or something, perhaps you wouldn't have been so radical. So I actually think it was a blessing in disguise. I know that might seem a bit of an odd thing to say, but yeah, I think that was a real pivotal point for us. We went into November and yeah, we've done okay, but I think people all get carried away now. The season doesn't end in December. It does start in August and it'll finish in April, May this year. It's just about getting on a good run, believing in what you're doing. And more importantly, it's about having a good bunch of players. And while you need players who can play well, I think it's so important about the character of player you have at your football club.
It's almost as if you've read my notes I'd already written on this one. Because Eastbourne's always been a very family-style club. And I sense, yeah, what you've been there, what, just over 3 years, albeit COVID-disrupted. I sense you're comfortable there and I sense that the club are comfortable there. And that's how success is built, isn't it?
I totally agree with you, Tim. And we've worked really hard on that. And during COVID time, teams. We were ringing fans. We were, you know, engaging in the community. Eastbourne Borough is a community club, and you know, it's really important. And you know, it's a bit different at our club. Players have to go in the bar after games. They have to engage with supporters. They have to engage with directors. And we do things in our own way. And it's a way that I want it done. And we like that.
Yeah, and it is all about relationships. You mentioned like relationships with players and fans, players with management, but it's also we talk about the manager and their relationship with the board as well. And at Eastbourne, you've got on the boards, and I believe he's your main link with the board as well, legendary ex-sports manager Gary Wilson. I mean, how important is it for you to have somebody who knows what the dugout's like to be on the board?
Well, I think it's crucial, and Gary's one of my best friends as well, and we've worked together in the past, and albeit Gary's on the board now, I talk to Gary both socially and, you know, from a football point of view, virtually every day. We're actually going out for a few beers in the next couple of days as well. So, Gary's crucial, and if we could emulate what Gary has done, did rather, at Eastbourne Borough, that would only be a good thing. But we're all in this together. I mean, I was very fortunate to win the November Manager of a Month award, but you know, it's never, and I think any manager who thinks it's all just about them is a little bit, you know, wrong, really. You know, it's about the team. I'm the manager, but it's my assistant manager, my coaches, my physios, the kit men. You know, we're all in it together. And I couldn't do the job as manager without my backroom staff and the support of the board, the players and the supporters as well.
Yeah, it's an important point you make. You know, that individual, even as a player, a player goes on an individual streak, maybe scoring goals, maybe winning man in a match. It is all the other people around them that, and you need to keep your head to help others come along with you and enjoy that journey. I'm looking down the other people that are still involved with the football. Matt Crabb as well, another ex-Eastbourne Borough player, part of the under-18s management setup. I think that says so much about the club and the ethos and the spirit of that togetherness.
You know, 100%, Tim. You know, my assistant manager is Ben Austin. Ben was the club captain when the club got in the National League. Matt Crabb, who's as you rightly say, manages our under-18s. There's a number of the other ex-boys, you know, around who come and watch us. And, it's really important. You know, some managers don't want to talk about the past and what the success of the club previously, but I want to embrace it, you know. And as I said previously, if we could emulate things that has happened in the past, we'd be really happy. But, you know, I'm a great believer, and let's not get too carried away. You know, we made the playoffs last season. Unfortunately, we lost to Oxford City. The side's changed a lot. And the other thing as well, which I'm very proud of, we're developing young players. When I look at our squad as well, we have some older players like Chris Whelpdale, Lee Morgan, Charlie Walker. But if you look at our actual team, we've got Millie Scarlett, who's a young fullback. We've got Kai Innocent, who was only released by Queen's Park Rangers at the end of last season. We then got Jaden Perez, who's 21, 22. Our two wide players, Leon Gravata and Shiloh Remy. And then we've also got young Jake Hutchinson, who's an Eastbourne boy and scoring goals for us on loan from Colchester United. So not only are we're trying to do things in the right manner for the now, we're also trying to develop our players for the long term as well. And, you know, a lot of our squad have committed for next season and some beyond as well.
Yeah, and that's interesting because it's also committing to the club as well, isn't it, long term? You know, we mentioned the players that have come back and are still involved with the club. And that's what you always, in the modern era, that thing called loyalty is a sort of almost like a dirty word. But it is building the next generations of the club as well that you also need to be thinking about.
Yeah, and when I fortunately got the Manager of the Month award for November, the first two texts I received were from Jack Curry, who was on loan from us from AFC Wimbledon last season, and Charlie Kendall, who we sold to Lincoln at the end of last season, is now on loan at Sutton. So yeah, I think it's very hard, unless you've been at Eastbourne Borough, to actually grasp it. And I've managed other clubs, but Eastbourne Borough is a totally different club. It becomes sort of a way of life and a part of your life as well.
Yeah, I have to say, I've always loved my trips to Eastbourne Borough, apart from the results. I don't think I've ever been there either in the Yedding days or Hazen Yedding days and come away with a smile on my face other than the people that I've met.
Well, let's hope if we play you again in the future, that stays the same too.
I mean, you've mentioned, you've reeled off players there, ex-players. You know the Sussex scene as well as anybody, and it's always been a great source of talented players. But I guess with Worthing coming up into the division, doing well as well, there's probably a bit more competition for those better players. So are you having to look a bit further afield and use your full network?
I think it's been good, actually, Worthing coming up into the division. You know, they started like a house on fire and were doing really well. They've levelled off a little bit now, but I think it's good. You know, Adam and myself, we talk on a fairly regular basis, and that's what I love about the job, trying to unearth gems, you know, finding Shiloh Remeus. I think there was a team for the half season put out earlier this week, and Shiloh was in that team as well. So you're always trying to unearth talent. You're always trying to find players, and I don't care if someone's old, they're young, if they're from Eastbourne, Worthing, or if they're from further afield. If they're good enough and they buy into our ethos, I'm delighted to have them at our football club.
And I love that you mentioned there that you talked to Adam Henshelwood, the Worthing manager, because I don't think fans understand. You know, there is that rivalry. There is that, you know, you're trying to do better than them. But there is that, like we have amongst fans, there is that friendly, supportive nature as well. You know, I'd imagine 50% of your calls every week, if not even more, are probably with other managers and not necessarily talking about players, just giving that additional support that you must need as well at certain times.
Yeah, well, spot on, because, you know, I talk to a number of managers and, you know, you can't be friends with them all, I hasten to add, but, you know, I've spoken to a couple of managers this week and, you know, you look forward to it, but it's a mutual respect thing as well, Tib, isn't it? And, you know, when that whistle blows, whether it's a 7:45 on a Tuesday or Wednesday or 3 o'clock on a Saturday, nothing gives you greater pleasure than to beat someone who's half a mate as well, really. But, you know, straight away after the game, you have a beer. And, you know, last Saturday, we lost to Bracknell in the FA Trophy. We was really disappointed, but I personally, myself, want to put a you know, box of beers in the Bracknell changing room for their players. And, you know, you have to have respect for opposition. It disappoints me sometimes when you listen to managers' interviews and they don't give, you know, if they've lost, they give no respect and no credit to the side who's beaten them. You know, you have to be, listen, everyone loves winning. Everyone loves the success. You know, I was bitterly disappointed when we went out of the FA Trophy last Saturday. But the reason was because on the day, Bracknell Town were better than us. And you have to take that on the chin and move on.
Yeah, and man after my own heart on that front. We are only involved in this because we love non-league football. And if you take that element of loving it and sort of bringing an element of hate or too much hate, the love disappears and the game's never going to be the same.
Well, I think, you know, I look back at my time in non-league football, and I'm, before you say it, I know I don't look it, but I'm 52 now. And I still.
Some of us remember you playing, Dan.
Yeah, badly, I hasten to say. But, you know, you look back and I've met some you met some really good, and you probably say the same, Tim, from your days at your club. You've met some really good people, haven't you? And, you know, and I look back at people I met, you know, back at when I was at other clubs, you know, I talk to them now still, Enko Akuku, Liam Collins, Paul Rogers, you know, this is Alan Payne, you know, these are all people, all different ages, but, you know, of course, there's some people who you still remember and you don't talk to, but there's others who you look forward to talking to.
My adage in every walk of life is if they don't like you, just be extra nice to them. It makes them, it winds them up even more.
I didn't know. Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. That's exactly my adage as well, because I think that's the best. I really like that, and that's exactly what I would say as well.
Well, it's the only way to get on, isn't it? I mean, we're not here for a long time. You know, we're here for a good time. Let's go and enjoy some football. Talking of which, you mentioned you got that double header against Havant and Waterlooville, Boxing Day trip coming up, and then the return visit on New Year's Day. We haven't got the game in between for a change. So is that a welcome relief with having had the grueling season already? Or you're in good form, you probably want to play more games?
No, I think I'm quite happy. I mean, it's pretty normal for us this festive time. So we've had a quite tricky run. We've been playing Tuesday nights, and no, I think it's really nice. You've got to remember, as you said earlier, it's non-league football. It's nice to be able to spend some time with your family. I look forward to spending some time with my granddaughter. So, you know, we play on Boxing Day, which is the Monday. As you say, we've got to have a really looking forward to seeing Doz and my old mate Ian Baird as well. Yeah, his assistant. And then on the Sunday, which is New Year's Day, we entertain them at our ground. So, yeah, it's pretty much normal for us. And then we really get rocking and rolling in January. It'll be Tuesday games, Thursday training, Saturday, you know, but that's what we love. And, you know, long may it continue.
You Doz and Birdie in the same dressing room two times in a week. We might need to order some extra beers into the country, I think.
Well, I'll tell you, let's hope we do. You know, last time we went down to Haven, unfortunately, I think we lost 3-0. We had 3 cents off. But the one thing we did do after the game, it was myself, Ben Austin, my assistant manager, Nick Arnold, one of my coaches, Jamie Collins, Bairdie, and I can't remember who else, but we did have a long beer afterwards in the Haven clubhouse. So, yeah, and that's one of the things I love about non-league football as well. And saying that, and I know a lot of the boys in the pro game do it. You know, as you said earlier, once that result's happened, and of course, you know, Doz and Birdie want to beat us, Ben and I want to be beating Haven, but there's no reason why you can't have that beer afterwards. And that's one thing that perhaps has gone out of the game a little bit, but I try and always do that, and I think it's really important.
And I think it's very important that we all try and continue that as well. And I'm always grateful to get you on the Non-League Football Show, Danny. Congratulations on that November Man of the Month award. Hopefully it'll continue throughout the rest of the year and rest of the season. Best of luck over the Christmas period. Have a great Christmas, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah, Tim, listen, can I say thanks very much to you. I'm always delighted to come on your show, but can I also wish all of your listeners a very, very Merry Christmas. Enjoy yourself, and let's hope we can all have a very happy and peaceful 2023. And whoever you support, I really do wish you well, but get down, support your non-league club, because non-league is certainly the best, in my opinion.
Now, another great thing about the Christmas period is being able to catch up with all the friends and family that you've maybe neglected a little bit over the year. And after talking about it for so long, I'm glad to finally welcome my next guest onto the Non-League Football Show. Over lockdown, he kept us positive, he kept us thinking, and he kept us entertained with his blogs and his interviews. He's carried on in similar fashion since too, and after his blog, footballwriting.co.uk, recently hit a new milestone, it seemed a perfect chance to bring him on. Let's give a warm Non-League Football Show welcome to journalist and writer, Mr. Trevor Nell. Welcome, Trevor.
Hello, Tim. Thanks very much for having me on.
Well, it's good to finally get you on, and sort of, I know most of our audience probably know about you, but we love the Made in Non-League check on this show, but I wanted to get you on as part of a wider look at that. We can't all be Jamie Vardy. We can't all be Jordan Pickford or a Nick Pope. Sometimes our contribution to football is probably better off the field. And I know from my day job, sports journalism is up there with wanting to be a YouTuber as a choice of the modern day job for youngsters. So why is sports journalism so exciting, do you think?
I think because it's so varied. It's not just football. You can take it to absolutely anything, even, you know, some of the smaller sports, like maybe even snooker and that, and you can turn it into whatever you want it to be as well. I mean, I tried not to go down the conventional route of going to university and, you know, getting a degree and everything that way, and the explosion of social media has certainly helped me to actually do something I want to do because it's what I love.
Yeah, so how did you get into it then? Did you just, you know, start writing? Is that the easiest way to get into it, really, isn't it? Because you're able to hone your craft, but is that how you started?
Yeah, basically that was it. I just started. I was at one stage, I think I thought, you know what, I fancy just starting a blog, putting some, you know, things down on paper for, you know, for more for me than for people to read. And I started that five years ago, I think it was. 5 years ago in October. And it just started as a you know, football thing I wanted to write about. I included a bit of NFL at the time because obviously the Americans call that football, and then sort of quickly realised that I need to take that out of it and just make it a non-league football blog. And that's how it started from there. And then obviously once we had the lockdown bits and pieces and people had nothing to do, it kind of exploded. I think it's probably the best word for it.
I think you were the sought-out man that everybody wanted to talk to. Not you weren't out chasing people. I think people were chasing you, weren't they?
A little bit, yeah. I did a few video interviews with a lot of ex-Barnet players, and I had Martin Allen on as my first video man, which was quite ironic at the time. It was exactly, I think it was 5 years to the day that Martin had taken Barnet back into the Football League from the National League. And it, you know, it was ironic. It was exactly that day. It was a few hours earlier, so obviously we could reminisce a little bit about that time. But yeah, I did have people coming to me and saying, "Could you do a blog on this? How about doing something on that?" Which was really nice as well. That was the real start of it, I think, 2 years ago, where it just did suddenly kick into life.
And I think, you know, that again, it shows the magic of non-league football, because you would be able to write like that about football at a higher level. Yeah, you may be some of the other minority sports, as you mentioned. You know, I've covered some great stuff on darts and snooker and netball over the years, but that access that we have because of that non-league family, it gives you just that extra step, that extra foot in the door, doesn't it, if you're writing about non-league football, talking about non-league football as I do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I say to everybody as well. It's just so, people are so approachable. You wouldn't be able to get this close to Premier League managers. I mean, I watched the BT Sport documentary they did when they covered Eastleigh, Bromley, Harrogate and a couple of others as well. And just from off of that, I was watching that and I thought, you know what, Ben Strevens, not sort of had any contact with him at all for a long while. And then Neil Smith, just chatted to everybody in the news agents, everywhere. I thought, you know what, these guys would be good to actually get on board. And I was lucky, I managed to get to speak to both of them and Darren Curry when he was at Barnet then, before the lockdown happened. And I was literally about 2 weeks away from also actually going to meet Martin Allen and Andy Hessenthaler as well. And again, people that I've known throughout my time of watching non-league. But if these guys were managing the Championship or the Premier League, you know, I wouldn't have a prayer of getting close to these people, let alone having, you know, telephone and text conversations with them.
Yeah, and I don't know if you watched BBC Sports Personality of the Year last night. We're talking now on Thursday evening. I was very pleased to see the acknowledgement for old friends, the Burrows family, old friends of the show, Burrows family, Rob in particular, in his battle against MND, but also for Kevin Sinfield, his friend, who's done so much to support. And he mentioned it was easy doing what he does now to raise awareness for MND because of the friends he's created in rugby league. And I think non-league is a very similar family of friends. We can do great work together, and hopefully there are a few projects on the horizon, and we'll let you know about those. Yeah. Both via this show, via the non-league paper, and also hopefully via Trevor in the new year. But the point I wanted to make is that non-league is actually about the football most. It isn't actually about the football most of the time. I discussed this with Bath City manager Jerry Gill last week. Mentioned it earlier. That Danny Blore mentioned it earlier in this week's show. It's about the people we meet.
Yeah, it is. You know, a lot of times I've gone to, you know, watching my own club, Barnet, and I haven't actually been going for the football because it's actually been quite dire. I've gone for the mates I've made off the pitch, you know, and seeing them for a beer and some food and things like that. And you can get that not just at the National League, you get that all the way down to step 5 and 6 at County League level, even a little bit below that as well. You know, people have got that such love for the game, and it's still raw, it's still honest. And you get so much more of that than I think you do at the levels above, because those people are really grateful to have you come and watch them, spend time with them and talk to them. You know, they really do love it.
Yeah. Well, people have seen from this conversation, you're a great talker, probably a better talker. I've got somebody else's teeth in, I think, today. But you're also a great writer. In recent weeks, I know you've picked up on the idea Simon Asbury came up with in respect to the relevance of the County Cup that we featured on this show a few weeks back. Yeah. And last week's free read was on the new manager bounce back of effect. What's been your favourite piece you've written this past year?
Cool. That, Tim, is a very, very good question. Do you know what? I don't know. I don't think I could actually pick one. I think, to be honest, having just introduced this Freebie Friday onto my blog is actually thinking of the idea of what I'm, you know, going to write about, and sometimes trying to get it done really early. I've got my piece, which will obviously go out tomorrow, which I thought about back end of last week. which will get written today and put up. And I think those, because they can create a lot of debate, and it's getting people interested in that kind of thing. So they think, right, what's behind the paywall? What does he put behind that? Because people that don't subscribe fully get a little preview of that. And obviously on the every Friday, they get a full whack of, you know, absolutely everything. But trying to pick a piece, like I say, I really don't know. I've been to so many games this year. I've caught up with so many people. It's impossible. Impossible to say, I think.
But I think that shows how good the stuff is, because it's not just match reports, it's not just interviews, there's opinion pieces there. But what I love about the stuff that you write is that you're not ramming your opinion down somebody's throat. You are getting people to think for themselves, and I think that's what we need to do. We need to create that debate in non-league. In recent weeks, you know, whether I agree with the way that it was created, but we had a debate about streaming. We've now got the National League. They're in this trial period for the live streaming. The full thing goes live, I think, Boxing Day.
Yep.
But that's because there was a debate, and we have social media. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But people like yourself can help spark those conversations going, and I think that's where non-league is special, because we have people that have got knowledge of the game sparking those debates, not just people that are sat in some ivory tower somewhere. You know, people like yourself are out there smelling the grass or smelling the plastic or smelling the rubber granules as they bounce back up off 3G. You understand football, so there is that. I deal with it beyond what I do on this show, and call it, one of my friends, Rob Peters, no longer with us, used to call it the relationship of trust. And I think we've got that in oodles at non-league level. And I think that's where your writing, you know, adds an extra dimension to what we know about the non-league game. What are your thoughts on streaming in the National League?
I've got a couple of mixed views on it. Myself, I love going to games. I would never swap a stream for a game unless I was physically unable to go because I was ill or I got something pre-planned and then I could get in to watch a stream, but I wouldn't, I wouldn't take the place of it. But for example, 2 weeks ago, Barnet would have been away at Halifax on a Saturday. You know, from where I am on the south coast at Littlehampton, it's a mission for me just to get to the Hive, let alone to watch, you know, somewhere in the north of England. So for me, a stream would have been perfect. As it was, I was due to go and watch Littlehampton and Corinthian, which kicked off at 1 o'clock. So I still would have got to a local game, got back in. It's literally a 2-minute walk from my flat to the ground, back in to watch the stream. Had we been, say, home to Woking, home to Eastleigh, even if we'd have been away at Eastleigh, something like that, it's only an hour down the road from me, I still would have gone. I wouldn't have sat there and streamed it. But for the games that are a million miles away from me, that one, I can't afford to go to, and two, you know, the distance and that, it's fantastic. But I do understand everyone's appreciation of what it might do to attendances. And you would hope that people would still rather stand there in the freezing cold or sit there in the freezing cold, as I did for a couple of games last week, than sit at home in front of their TV. I think that's, you know, that's what the Premier League does. It wants you in front of the TV. But non-league, you know, it's about being there, it's taking it all in, the atmosphere, the people you meet, you know, it's just such a different, almost like a different ball game.
It is. It's a bit like people say to me they don't like coffee, and I said there's so many variations of coffee.
Yeah.
You walk into any coffee shop nowadays, it would probably take you all day to drink each one of the variations. And I think, you know, the streaming or attending in real life, I mean, the fact that, you know, I travel 100 miles every week to go and watch my club at Hayes and Yedding, your journey's probably even longer, get to the Hive from Littlehampton.
Yep.
It shows that draw of non-league and that extra appeal. And I know people do it at a higher level as well, but, you know, sometimes when there's maybe, you know, you and a handful of others supporting your club, it takes a lot.
Yeah, that happened Tuesday night, actually, in the FA Trophy against Plymouth Park, where I think there was only 336 of us there. And I made the journey up. I would have gone on the Saturday had it been played. But I mean, you know, we haven't played since the 3rd of December against Wildstone. So I was keen to go again. You know, it's enjoyable going to Barnet again at the moment under what you know, Dean Brennan's achieved so far this season. And obviously it's a chance to, you know, speak to a few of the players that I'm on good terms with, and obviously see Dean, you know, John Dreyer, Tumble, who you had on earlier in the year, and Kirk as well afterwards, and, you know, have a little drink with them. So, you know, again, that's the sort of thing you can't do higher up the food chain, but, you know, they're accessible at this level, and, you know, they're happy to talk to you as well.
Yeah, and you know, you're happy to talk to them. You're enjoying it, but other people, if they were to subscribe to your blog, they'd enjoy it as well. I can guarantee that. There's always a struggle for last minute Christmas present ideas. Yeah, people can sign up for a free subscription, as you said. They can access certain bits, but there's also a paid for element as well behind the paywall. So maybe for that busy non-league fan, a subscription for a loved one, a friend, or even themselves. How can people sign up for a subscription for what you're writing?
They can head to www.footballwriting.co.uk, and the offer on at the moment, which is until the 1st of January, so even if you don't get it in for Christmas, you've got time after, it's 20% off at the moment. So that works out at £4 a month. I think it's £33.80 for a year. And for that, I write 8 pieces a month, never any less than that. Sometimes I'll add a couple of extras in as well. You get access to absolutely everything. There's an archive that goes back to March this year when I moved onto the Substack platform, and I'm moving my old stuff across from WordPress as well. So there'll be a whole 5-year archive you get the full access to as well. So I say the offer's on until the 1st of January. So if you don't get it in, or you don't get what you want for Christmas, then head along and either buy it for yourself or get someone else to buy it for you. But as Tim says, I don't think you'd be disappointed on there. It covers everything from the National League right down to Step 5 and 6 in the County League. And I try and get to as many different clubs and grounds. I hate being called a groundhopper. That's really not me. I hate different places just because it makes for the variety. And there's some nice stories, nice places. And there's also some nice burgers at some of these grounds as well.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures of these nice burgers. I remember years ago back on the BBC, we did run some pieces about the best place to get your non-league scran, and maybe that needs to come back. There certainly needs to be some sort of league table somewhere produced. Trevor Nell, it's been a pleasure to get you on the Non-League Football Show, but please do head along to footballwriting.co.uk, have a look. As Trevor said, you treat yourself. It's goodwill to all men and all women at this time of year. Treat yourself, because you know, you're the most important person in your life after all. Trevor, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. Have a great Christmas, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you, Tim. Same to you. Really appreciate it.
Time once again to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. Welcome back to the Non-League Show, editor-at-large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Bancock. Welcome back for a Christmas edition, Mr. Bancock.
Seasons greetings, Tim. Seasons greetings. How are you?
I'm good.
All set for the big day?
No. I'm not even set for Christmas
Day
either.
Or
No, I'm you know, I put my hands up now. I think I'm going to have to give Boxing Day a miss this year, simply because an early kickoff or a lunchtime kickoff over 100 miles away means I'm probably not really going to be in a fit state to drive on Boxing Day at that time in the morning. So it's probably better for all of us. So I'll be putting my feet up and hoping that somebody will update me on our social media for Boxing Day. So yeah, it seems a strange Christmas without that. I've got plenty of other things to do. Don't worry about that. Plenty of admin to catch up with as well.
There's
always something for you guys as well. I mean, great work again last week from the Non-League Paper team with the weather blizzard blitzing the fixture list and everything like that. Look, so we've gone from frozen pitches to wet pitches to fog as well that we had this week in the FA Trophy. It looks a better forecast coming into the Christmas period, and that means an amended schedule two for you guys. So Christmas actually comes early for Non-League Paper fans.
Christmas has come early. It comes on Friday the 23rd of December. I don't think what day is then. I'm already confused. You know, when you lose your days over Christmas, I've already lost my... Yeah, it comes on Friday, so we're out on Friday 23rd, ahead of I think it should be on sale all the way through to Boxing Day. So if you miss it beforehand, then pick it up on your way to your Boxing Day games. But yes, a very short week, the shortest week we've ever had to put a paper together, which has been interesting. As we speak now, the paper is on its, it's probably printed and waiting to be put into vans. So I'm slightly nervous you're going to bring something up that we've forgotten about. There's nothing we can do about it. So we'll see how we go in the next 5 minutes.
there's always things going on, and there's always little bits. We can't keep abreast of everything. We saw most of the FA Trophy third round get played midweek. Well, one thing, I don't know whether you would have been able to report on the big upset, Colville Town going to Chesterfield and coming away with a 3-1 victory. Didn't you mention that might be a possibility, I think, in the previous weeks?
I must have done. I'll definitely take credit for it, even if it wasn't me. I did say that they could do the double, I think, maybe. Or a good sort of National League double. They beat Notts County in the FA Cup, and I've added Chesterfield to the list in the FA Trophy. And we have covered it. And we spoke to Ashley Chambers, who he's also played a big role in their FA Cup run, and he scored at Charlton when they got there as well. So he scored a couple the other night at Chesterfield, and of course he's won the FA Trophy of York in 2012. So it's a nice story all round, but a great, you know, another great result and victory for Adam Stevens' side. And you know, they've got lots of quality in there, like people like Ashley Chambers and Billy Keys there, and Luke Shaw seems to win the star man in the NLP every single week. So he's obviously been flying for them as well. So it's great result, and wasn't loads and loads of upsets on the night as such, but that was definitely one of them. And Chesterfield, you know, I'm sure there's a bit of disappointment there, but overall, obviously, they've got their bigger picture of the league, and they've got a big FA Cup game coming up in early January, home to West Brom as well. So lots for them to cheer about as well. But it's definitely Colville's night on Tuesday.
Yeah, and the draw for the last 32 round four, I think that is, was made on Monday as well, and that win for Colville sets up a trip to Banbury United. So again, it's an enticing tie for them, isn't it? Is one that they can get through in the new year. There were some other great ties, including a few alliterative ones. So you know, us word gurus love these. Bracknell Town against Bath City, Torquay United and Taunton Town. And I guess I'd probably include Harborough against FC Halifax Town in that list too. It's a great ties coming up. I think, 14th of January, Saturday, 14th of January?
Yeah, 14th of January, lots of good ties. It was kind of a strange draw, wasn't it, on Monday. It was all the oars and not many kind of teams who were guaranteed to be through after. I think there was only five games last Saturday, but Leicester were one of them. We got through there. I think they're Aldershot, which is an interesting one for them. They say Bath getting through as well. They were 2-0 down against Bromley the other night, and came back. I think they got their equaliser in stoppage time to go straight to penalties, and it's kind of an interesting tale that came out of that. Is Ryan Clark, the Bath, he was player coach at Bath now, but he's won promotion with Oxford United a few years ago into the Football League, and had a really good career. He may not want me to mention his age, but I think he's touching in his 40s now. So, but he's been coming in for Bath for the trophy, because their keeper they had earlier on the season on loan from Mill, Joe Wright, had to go back because he got injured, and the lad they got in now had played earlier in the competition for Swindon Supermarine. So, as in Ryan's where they wheel him out for the FA Trophy games, and the quirk about it is that when he was at Oxford, he had an injury at the end of one season, and a certain Emi Martinez came in from Arsenal on loan to back
who
him
he?
Up. Had his,
who he? What's he ever won?
some what's he won? What's he won? Well, I don't know whether Ryan can quite claim all the credit for it, because it was only one game he was there, Emi, but kind of a funny tale that Emi Martinez was obviously slightly pivotal in Argentina's win on Sunday in their shootout, and then Ryan Clark's got won a shootout a few days later. So the highs and lows of football.
You've sliding doors moments, you know, where you could be or where you might be. Talking of which, the managerial changes have been few and far between, thankfully, this week. I guess the sack's being reserved for Santa at this time of year. But one big move, man coming in, Chris Nunn, taking on the role of first-team manager at AFC Rushden & Diamonds. It's been a tough gig in recent seasons, but Chris, much experience from his time at Biggleswade Town, seems a very good appointment. He leaves Kempston Rovers, where I think he'd been there since May, earlier on in the summer. His assistant, Ash Fuller, ex-player there, stepped into the job and sort of fulfills that vacancy there. But AFC Rushden & Diamonds, you know, looking for to move back up the table, get some more success under their belt. And Chris Nunn is certainly a steady pair of hands.
Yeah, definitely. He's seen a lot in his time. He's at Biggleswade Town and led them to lots of success and up to step three, where they stayed for many years as well. I think Rushden on a really bad run at the moment. They just need someone to go in there and kind of shake it up. And I think getting that first winner for a while on the board will just, you know, you hope that can kind of kickstart something and they can kind of climb the, start, you know, at least looking up and trying to claw back some of the gap that sort of opened up at the bottom of the table there. So they will be hoping that Christmas can bring that and they can get off to a good start on Monday. But yeah, if someone like, you know, he knows what the job he's taking on, he knows how hard it's going to be. But someone like him, as you say, knows non-league as well as he does, and I'm sure will be leaning on lots of contacts to get some players in and get a few smiles on faces, because, you know, we all know the story of AFC Rushden & Diamonds and you know, they're one of the Phoenix clubs that have had that early success and find it slightly tricky this year. So hopefully they can get out of it somehow. But if, you know, if they don't, then you've got a good person there to kind of try and lead them back from if the worst does happen.
Yeah, yeah. Manager's not moving, but one big player movement. I think it broke on today, Thursday, as well, so it probably wasn't something you began to read about in this weekend's paper. But Sydney Ibe has been part of Northwood's dominance in the Isthmian South Central this season. I think he got 12 goals in 21 so far this season. He'd been training recently with Dagenham and Redbridge and has impressed enough to earn himself a contract there, which makes, I think, what, a three-level step up. Good news for him. But I think it's also great inspiration for many non-league footballers. You know, I've seen him, he joined the Woods, I think about this time last season, but I've seen him at Potters Bar Town, he's been around for a while, Welling Garden City, Asbury United, Wantage Town, Charlton St Peter, but he's just seemed to click under Steve Ringrose, who's got the best out of him at Northwood, and he's earned his chance at the higher level.
Yeah, definitely. I think we did just about get that one in. I think we put the paper to bed about 2 o'clock in the morning, so we just managed to squeeze it. squeeze something about that in. So yeah, it's, as you say, it's fantastic. I like it when, you know, non-league clubs, we sort of always talk about football league clubs looking down, don't we, into non-league, and, you know, it's the same in non-league. We sort of maybe overlook it sometimes, how many players are out there in the sort of step 3, 4, even 5 and 6, where, you know, just waiting for those kind of opportunities. And it's funny, isn't it, sometimes how you know, a player can kind of have different move around different clubs, and maybe it doesn't quite happen. But you get the right one, you get the person, the right manager who believes in you and gives you that platform to thrive, and, you know, away they go. And I think that's, yeah, sometimes, you know, there's a lot of, in football, a lot of circumstances that have to be right as well for players. So fantastic opportunity for him to go up to Dagenham, obviously full time, and that extra training will help. And you know, Darryl Myers had success going, looking down the leagues at Dagenham with players, and also when he's absolutely as well. So it's a great move for him, and hopefully he can go there and really impress and make the most of a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah, I guess the other big news of the week was the announcement of the next England C match. The long-term permanent status of the England non-league side, that's still something that appears to be up in the air, but despite all the success that we've had over the years. But we do know that Tuesday the 21st of March, England will meet Wales C again. Evening kickoff at Altrincham FC. Good news for Paul Fairclough's side, but also good news for all of non-league.
Yeah, definitely very welcome news. As you say, there's been sort of, it's not been easy for England to see the last couple of years with COVID and All the issues that's brought along, and Bristol only had one game last season, and at the moment it's only one. It's kind of what the FA seems to be working at the moment is the one game, and hopefully that can increase again, because you know I've talked to so many different players over the years who've represented the team, and you know how much it means to them, and it's something they always kind of fondly remember. I mean, any of the lads I sort of speak to have sort of shared England sea trips with over the years. One of the things they always ask about it: do you still go and watch England sea? And how's watching? You know, how's Paul Fairclough and all the backroom staff there? And you know, it really leaves a mark on them. And I've spoken to players who've gone on and played in the Premier League and Championship, and you know, their England cap or appearances always means a great deal. You know, they always love their shirts that they've often got framed up on their walls, and I think we should be shouldn't underestimate the value of England seeing kind of what it does for the non-league game and how much of a shop window it gives players, and a platform and the confidence that it gives them. I think that's a lot of what football's about, and you know, it's about giving young footballers and young men these opportunities to achieve and succeed, and a reward for how well they play at their clubs. There'll be a little bit of revenge, I guess, on the minds of the England C team. You know, they last year when they played Wales in Caernarfon, or earlier this year in March, Wales C certainly did a job on them. It's 4-0 kind of in the blink of an eye, really. It's actually an open aging team for the first time in well over 10 years, so it's kind of a slightly different approach, but it just didn't happen for them on the night at all. And I think one of the lads, I think it's Will Evans, who scored for was it Lee Evans, I can't quite remember his name, but a lad scored two for Wales that night, then went on and moved into the Football League of Newport County. So it's a great opportunity and great platform for the Welsh lads as well to show themselves. And the games have been really good over the years. I think the first one they played a few years ago, it was 3-2 in Wales to England Sea. Fayok and Abiri scored a hat-trick, and he's moved on to the Football League since at Cambridge United now, I think. And you know, quite a few of that team last year have gone into the Football League now as well. So it's a fantastic opportunity. It's great that there's a game been planned in, and you definitely encourage everybody to get along to it and have an enjoyable evening in March, and hopefully it's a little bit warmer.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, it's Tuesday the 21st of March, the date for your diary up at Altrincham. And as Matt says, you know, an opportunity to see maybe some future household names featuring in that side. It has been a fairly quiet week in non-league. There's various matters going on up at Bury, also York City, regarding future potential ownership. But the story's just breaking at the moment, so we'll cover those maybe next week or the weeks as they unfold. Because sometimes the non-league world as a non-league fan isn't the easiest, isn't the smoothest. But again, get in touch with either ourselves at the Non-League Show or the Non-League Paper to make sure that we're hearing all sides of the argument, so that we can cover everything in as much depth as possible. But of course, we do look forward to Christmas, and we look forward to the Christmas issue of the Non-League Paper out on Friday alongside this podcast. So you can, if depending how clever you are, you might be able to dual sync your media. But also look forward to the non-league paper in the new year too. And a timely reminder then that all good non-leaguers also need a non-league paper 2023 calendar for their wall. Just remind people, Matt, where they can find their Christmas and New Year's versions of the non-league paper dates-wise, and also how they can get hold of a copy of the 2023 non-league paper calendar.
Yeah, the calendars, they're stacked up in the office, ready to go out. Get those. There's an order form through the paper and on our website as well. As you say, we're out tomorrow on the 23rd, or it'll be today when this goes out, on the 23rd of December this week. And then next week we're out on New Year's Eve as well. So again, ahead of the games, with plenty of stuff in there, plenty of reaction from the Boxing Day games. But a calendar will kick the year off. So in the paper, on the website, and I might sort of take a box with me in the boot of the car and try and flog a few of the games I go to, maybe.
We look forward to just meeting you
all
again.
All money will go back to the paper.
It'll all be reinvested back into the beautiful game at our level. Thanks as ever for all your help, Matt.
Reinvest into my petrol.
Have a great Christmas, and we'll speak to you again very, very soon.
Have a good Christmas, Tim. Thanks for all you do.
And so that is it for this week. Thanks as ever to all of my guests. Thanks for everybody for listening. Remember, you can, of course, find us and follow us throughout the season, joining throughout the week on social media at Non-Leash. I'm myself there, Tim, at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And find us every week on Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, GeoSavin, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. So stay safe. Have a great Christmas. Enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.